Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look at what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. Actually, it should be behind the scenes look, but you get the gist. We are joined this week again by Rachel Wells, the artist of Power Squared. Rachel's
hi, everyone.
Was here last week, and she's like almost a co-host. We're going to talk about character designs. There's a couple of things that we're trying to work on kind of jointly. One is we keep talking about the idea we think this would make a good show for a good
animated series.
And you have to have a pitch packet to do that, and they're going to want to see what the characters look like.
Yeah.
And then we're also thinking about we could have what they call an ash can.
Yeah.
Sort of a giveaway when you sign up. Right now we're giving you issue number one, but instead we might give you a kind of a who's who of Power Squared.
Yes, so that offer won't last long.
That's right, so sign up now. or enroll now, as I like to say, since you're signed up for SRCC.
Yeah.
I also tried to use the Hound Dog, Go Hound Dogs, the hashtag Go Hound Dogs.
Yeah.
And there's other people using that. I went ahead and used it anyway. I hope it doesn't mean something. Tied in with some, right-wing group or something.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I'm just, it was just weird that it was being used. So I was like,
oh. It'd be for the better. Maybe people will, it'll get eyes on the cause.
Yeah. It was, so as we say, the Go Hound Dogs. I figured we might as well, why not?
Yeah.
So you are going to be doing some character designs for us for characters that you did not create, because we have the ones that you created. We're going to use those, but these are four ones that were designed or not designed necessarily by the previous artist, right?
Yeah. I did come in. I started working on the comic on issue 6, and by then there was quite a cast of characters. I guess as we were just discussing earlier, they didn't come with character sheets like I make for the characters that I design for the story. So it's just kind of kind of using the old comic art as reference. Mm-hmm. But I figure, these character sheets would be good if you guys want to set up a pitch packet. If by chance you ever wanted to pitch to other comic publishers, that would probably be something they're looking for.
Right.
And it might be good. I was always thinking not that I plan on leaving anytime soon, but if there were ever another artist that would pick up the helm from me, it would probably be useful to have character sheets, to look off of.
You're not leaving anytime soon, right?
Shut up. Okay, don't. Oh, absolutely not. I just think sometimes I see that color packet that one of your old colorists made for future colorists.
Yeah.
And I guess I look at that and I'm just thinking should I have something like that?
Yeah, that was actually the first colorist, who's the second colorist, I should say.
Right.
She put that together knowing that she was leaving for the next person. And so we just had them each keep adding to it as they do new characters and new coloring,
That's so, nice.
Yeah, so that was, we were, I guess we didn't have that issue with the characters because you kind of redesigned them as you went.
A little bit, yeah. I guess character sheets are also very useful for helping keep the characters consistent looking because, definitely as I've moved through, issue 6, 7, 8, 9, so on and so forth, they kind of change ever so slightly. Not that necessarily mean to, I guess it's sort of it depends on, hi Susie, it kind of depends on how, what my skill at that point is in terms of just general drawing. But, I guess I always tend to improve the characters as as I improve. I figure if I can make this look better, then why the hell not?
Right. So you started off doing four characters for us, which I think are kind of the main characters, mostly the main characters of the story. Marty, Eli, Dr. Atlas, I want to say Instructor Atlas, Dr. Atlas, and Mocha, who's... So... do we want to talk about those in particular? I mean, is there one character that you enjoyed designing over another?
I would say Mocha, especially Mocha's Fox version. I mean, I just like drawing women more. they're just more fun to draw. I don't know what it is exactly. But also animals. I think I've said it before, but animals are my favorite thing to draw. So Mocha, like the kitsune, is just very, very fun, very interesting to draw.
So you want her to be in the kitsune form more often than she is?
The furry in me says yes.
Well, sorry, we're not really actually doing that. We did. Well, you had a couple of issues where she was, you know, she was that.
She's basically a fox the whole time.
Yeah. So that should have been like.
Yeah, that was definitely a lot of fun. But yeah, Mocha's definitely, you know, she's an interesting character when she's a human.
Yeah. So do you want to? Should we look at one of them?
All right. Let's see. If I have done this correctly, then no one will see that screen. Okay, there we go.
This is exciting. If you're listening to this on the podcast, we're looking at character designs. Great visual.
Yeah.
So Mocha?
Yeah.
Let's start with her.
So, why not?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how far I wanted to go with these character designs, because normally with the characters that I make from scratch, like Professor Theorem or Quincy, I'll make all these little notes like, oh, her face is longer, or like she's this height just about, or she likes this fashion sense. But for these characters, it's just like, how much should I outline really?
As much as you feel like you want to. I mean, So you say you like, can we zoom in on Mocha? I know that's exciting again for radio. What about Mocha do you like? And I know that some of the idea for a character design is that you want to have a little bit of the personality of the character come through, right?
Yeah. I like her sort of steely look. I like that her face is just a little bit different from the rest of them. Like, she sort of has, like, a rounder nose. Generally, like, a rounder, more stout face. I like her suit because her suit is like nice and standard. It's easy to draw. She's one of those characters where that she wears the same thing all the time. Like Marty and Eli don't wear the same thing, but Mocha's nice and easy. She just wears the same ass thing.
Well, actually, in some, I'll say future issues, she may actually be dressed a little differently.
Ooh.
Because, you know, she's trying to fit
exciting.
In.
Exciting.
Yeah. But that's, you know, don't want to give too much away because, you know, okay.
The main challenge with Mocha is the heels. I always have trouble with high heels, but I guess it's good practice.
Yeah, I was kind of, it's interesting that she, and I know that we're responsible for it, but it's interesting that she wears a suit.
Yeah.
You know, what?
I guess she thinks like, what are human clothes?
Yeah. So is there anything that you think that, the problem I think we had with the original, I'll say artist, and Mocha was that she seemed to change drastically from depiction to depiction. Mm-hmm. And you've sort of standardized her look. So is there, is there something that you think you really mastered about her that wasn't really being dealt with before? You know what I mean?
Let me think. I think in general, a big issue about like the last art style was that a lot of the facial expressions weren't very readable. Like, you could tell a character's supposed to feel something because of, like, you know, what they're saying or the context, but it wasn't, you couldn't really feel it on their face, you know? And I feel like expressiveness is very important in comics because, you know, it's character driven. It's driven by their emotions. Right. So I worked really hard to make sure that not just Mocha, but all the characters, but I feel like Mocha especially had that issue. It might have just been because it was a woman's face, but for some reason, women are just really hard to draw for a lot of comic artists. But yeah.
Well, usually, a lot of the comic, when they draw women, they're heavy, I'll say large breasted or whatever.
Right.
And we don't, you know, I mean. I've looked at
there's a lot of issues with women in comics. I could go on and on, but
we'd be getting off topic.
I'll leave it at that. Like, yeah.
No, but I mean, I think she looks, you know, she looks you know, kind of tough but approachable.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how she is.
Yeah. Steely.
Okay, steely. So, I guess another one to look at would be Dr. Atlas.
Dr. Atlas. Dr. Atlas was funny because I, you know, for a long time and during my tenure at Power Squared, I didn't get to draw him because he just didn't appear. And then when I finally got to draw him, I was like, yes!
Well, he's, yeah, he kind of got into the background there for several issues. Kind of pulling the strings from behind the scenes more.
Yeah,
than...
while we explored some of his followers.
Yeah. So what?
But he definitely has like a very like he's a very oblong sort of not I don't know about oblong, but like his face is definitely very distinct from other characters. Like he has those cheekbones. He has like the sort of whatever you call these things right under the, your bottom lip,
yeah.
Like your snake bites. he has weird. He has weird. Bangs. He has weird glasses. Just like weird everything. So he's very interesting to draw. Excuse me, just a moment. I got cat hair in my eyes. Oh no.
Susie.
It was a great idea bringing the cat up here. But I just like, what else can I say about Dr. Atlas? I tried to give him like a very in very imposing stature here. Very like, I'm the villain here.
Yes, and he
although
is.
when I go and do inks for him, I might like, you know, make his shoulders a little bit broader. Something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I guess we could talk a little bit about the main characters of the story. Marty and Eli. I'm wearing my
Marty and Eli
Team Marty t-shirt, so I'll start with him. I know that we gave you some feedback on some of these characters.
Yeah, like switch up their shirts. I've been working on that, I swear. Okay, I'll send progress tomorrow.
It's fine. Yeah, that seems like more of an Eli shirt to us, but that maybe that's because we're going on who the characters are based on. Yeah.
I might have drawn Eli before with that cat face. I don't remember exactly. But
so what are you trying to capture?
I might have like low-key complained earlier about like drawing them, having to draw different outfits for them, but I do enjoy thinking up different outfits for them from issue to issue.
Yeah, I like the idea though that they're not are when they become when they use their powers they don't change, you know, they don't suddenly have a cape and you know some outfit.
Right.
I like the idea that they're just, you know, this is just who they are and they just suddenly, you know, they always have these powers and they're just using them. They're not turning into, you know.
Yeah, because the costume just sounds impractical. You have to like go somewhere to change.
Yeah. And capes, I thought, you know, those are silly. You know? They get caught in things, and, you know, it's just... So I like the idea.
True. Anyone who's seen The Incredibles knows.
So, I mean, you know, I like the idea that there's no change of, you know, they don't put the rings together and become something else, or, you know, whatever. So. and they don't have any like,
yeah, they're very down to earth.
Yeah. They're just your average, you know, walk around the town superhero.
Yeah.
They're down to earth, and I like that.
So what are you trying to, what part of his character were you trying to bring out in the character design?
I suppose in this, like, main pose here, I guess I was trying to convey how, you know, at least Marty in particular is, like, kind of, I suppose he's the more outgoing one, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just happy-go-lucky, like, hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, like, isn't necessarily afraid of the spotlight, isn't afraid of attention. He's cool and he knows it. But not, like, necessarily, they call it full of himself.
Right.
You know, at least not yet.
We want him to always stay down to earth. Yeah. Okay, so besides the shirt, that was kind of our, yeah, just change the shirt out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I do like, I think I said it before, but my favorite brother to draw is Marty, just because of the longer hair. I like to draw long hair.
Let's talk a little bit about Eli, the actual older brother of the two.
Oh yeah.
He's actually a little more.
I think, Eli.
Yeah. We were thinking that he was a little.
Sorry, we're on such a delay.
Yeah, we thought maybe he was a little too outgoing in their characterization.
I can definitely see that now. I also wanted to convey the same thing that was like, hey, I'm happy, I'm friendly, but not too friendly.
And we
but, with this show. Basically, like, I, you know.
Go ahead.
Sorry. What was it? I know, like, they're kind of, Marty and Eli are more or less similar in their characters, their personality, but like I know like they're distinct enough that where was I going with this? They're distinct but also very similar, which right. can definitely help in drawing them, not just like in these character sheets but throughout the comic, like their mannerisms and how they carry themselves.
So do you draw the same basic body and just change things, or
I think I've said it before, but if I'm drawing a shot with the two of them in it and they're posed more or less the same, I'll copy and paste. I'm not afraid of copying and pasting. It just makes things so much easier. Obviously, I don't do that for all of them, but I believe for this, for these character sheets, I might have copy-pasted the heads and just sort of like, change the hair.
Oh yeah, so with twins you can get away with that more.
It's true. It helps keep things consistent.
Well, that's the beauty of them being identical twins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is lucky that the people they're based on are identical twins. That worked out pretty well. But enough different. So we want them to look the same but be different as the
distinct.
Right. Okay. We should talk about Mocha and her
kitsune for
right.
Yeah. This was fun, but at the same time, it felt kind of, because like for the other three character designs, they're all humans, right?
Yeah.
So they each get like a little turnaround with the head chart. But for this animal, I'm like, what do I do with you?
I liked the paw. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I figured, at least for the sake of color reference, I should show what color the paw pads are.
Right. And I know we had some, Trevor is our sort of our resident animal expert, so he had some little things he thought could be altered. But.
Oh yeah. I like to think I'm good at drawing animals, but.
Well, I think he likes drawing them a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys go to the zoo so you can see and take photographs and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. When you can go to the zoo, of course.
That's fun.
It's closed at the moment.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, all right. So,
honestly, so much of my skill in drawing animals comes from drawing from photos.
So, were you trying to get across her personality in this one? Just
that a little bit. I figured she was. She was a fox.
Right.
She obviously has the eight tails there. I think, I'm not sure if I ever knew that before issue 15 that she only has eight tails, because I was always thinking that she had nine tails.
Well, I think nine tails. Nine tails is supposedly a sort of a certain milestone for them, right?
Yeah.
So she's not quite there yet.
Right. Yeah. The more powerful you are, the more tails you have.
Yeah.
And then, I fixed it and then I was working on that page again and my husband was watching me. He was like, she's missing a tail, right? It should be nine tails.
No doubt.
And I was like,
lore.
Lore. I do like that though. I like that she has eight. I like that it's a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe if this goes on long enough, she'll get the ninth tail, but right now she only has eight.
I'm rooting for you, girl. You get that tail.
Yeah, we're hoping that she'll earn it, I guess.
Yes.
Maybe get to the some issue number, she'll get it or something. We haven't gotten that far yet. So these are these are the first set, and then there'll be other characters again that you've didn't create. What are the next ones you want to tackle?
There's a bunch of them. I think of the list you sent me, I was kind of just going down. Okay.
Fair enough.
I'll have to go back and look at it, but it might be the friends, Kirby and Steve and Don.
I'm gonna stop.
Like, I think they're all gonna get one.
Yeah.
Go back to the thing.
And then I guess we have Uncle Brian and.
Yeah.
Right, Uncle Jennifer. Brian.
Yeah. So do you?
Jennifer will be fun to draw. I like drawing Jennifer.
So do you have a favorite character? You said Mocha already. Is there somebody that you've created that's your favorite character to have created?
I think my favorite that I've created has to be Professor Theorem. She was the first one that I designed, I believe. And she's just really fun to draw. It was fun to formulate her design because you gave me a specific person to base her off. I can't recall the name.
K-Floyd.
But, you know, I poured through photos of her to figure out like a good character from her. I feel like I did a pretty decent job. I like her hair. I like her whole stature. I like that she's not just, you know, a bombshell, like stereotypical comic woman.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was.
Yeah, I might have talked about this before, but I feel like women in media should be allowed to be a little bit ugly. They should be allowed to have like wrinkles or and whatever, you know, like frazzy hair. They're allowed to be imperfect, you know. I think that's what I like about Professor Theorem.
She's imperfect. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have a? I'll just say, ask this question: a least favorite character you've had to design?
Least favorite character. I might have thought about this question before. It might be one of the you know, like side characters, the ones that you kind of forget about. Because I always do, like, for the audience, I always do a little sketch of like named characters. Or characters that show up for more than a panel, you know.
Right.
Just to make sure like the look looks okay.
Yeah, we the Perrys as an example, and and the Muffy Lady or something. Been a few. Was the policeman, he showed up for a few, and
I'm thinking specifically about issue eight, where they're at the Perry house and there's the, you know, the police guy there, and Professor Ketchum, not professor, detective.
Detective Ketchum, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not that I dislike him, but like, I kind of, fun fact, since his last name was Ketchum, I kind of designed him based on Ash Ketchum from Pokemon. But I didn't think to like say to the colorist, like, his hair should be, he should be like Ash Ketchum. So then the colorist made them not look like Ash Ketchum. So I was like, oh, okay then. Not that that's her fault, but.
You gotta say what you want.
Yeah, but I guess like to answer the question of like my least favorite character I've designed, I guess like one of the side ones that didn't get a lot of effort put into them, I just kind of look back at them like, eh, I could have done better on that. But you know.
Do you want to come clean and tell us which one?
Let me think. I might be thinking of like, you know, like, you know, it's any of the officers, you know, like, actually, no, I'm thinking of the scene with the Perry house, and when the guy comes in, he might be a doctor. He might be a scientist guy.
Oh.
I remember looking at him and thinking of like, eh, that could have been better.
You think there was a guy from the, you know, the, want to say SDI, but
that's, he came in and it was like, wait, you can't erase that.
Right. Yeah. He's one of the police investigator types, you know, from the scientific.
Yeah.
Fingerprints and all that kind of
forensics.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Forensics. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I try and put my all into character design. So, you know.
So for somebody that is watching this, hoping to learn how to do a character design, how do you, I mean, how did you learn to do them? I assume that was at school or before or.
Maybe a bit before. I remember being inspired a lot by watching behind the scenes footage of, you know, like my favorite animated shows and movies. And you would see, you know, the artists working on these character sheets or working through the design process, like figuring out what a character is going to look like, or, you know, like the shape of their body, the shape of their face. You know, if I don't go this in depth for Power Squared character designs because like the shape language just isn't. Like, it's not like a Pixar movie, you know, it's not like characters are all different shapes,
right?
Like that. But if I were to go really in depth, I would make like little color, what do you call them? I would make little vignettes of like the character shapes, and I would just go through that process. I wish I could bring up images to show what I'm talking about, but I can go really in depth, especially if it's a paid project. But
well, we're paying you for these.
What was it?
don't skip.
I'm definitely in, like, it's true. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, when you think of a Pixar character, it's very exaggerated. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. But for a Power Squared character design, it's not so exaggerated. So I'm not going to go crazy with the shapes, you know.
But I mean, you started drawing on your own, apparently, right? And I'm going to guess characters that you saw in recreating them, or are you just always made them from scratch?
Yeah. So, you know, like everyone starts out drawing other people's characters, you know, cause they like them. Yeah. So that's what I did starting out. I would draw my favorite characters from my favorite TV shows or movies or what have you. And then as I grew up and I figured out, like, I like to do this for a living. I figure out exactly how it works to create a character. I might look at the process of other designers and artists, especially, you know, looking through, you know, the art of XYZ book, mm-hmm. and seeing, they might show you the sketches that they do to work through this character design, and just thinking about, you know, how they work through that and how I can apply that to my own work. And yeah, then eventually you get to art school and they teach you like how to really do that as a professional. And yeah.
So what did they, you know, sum up your education in two or three words? No, what did they teach you to? I mean, you know, I assume they taught you how many heads a character is tall and that kind of stuff. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I remember we specifically started learning that kind of stuff in a class called Drawing for Sequential Art, which it might sound very broad, but it was more about, you know, like how to draw a person, how to draw an object, how to use perspective to draw these things. And that class I took, it was taught by this big, big Marvel guy. Not big, Tom Lyle. He was known as the Marvel guy in school. He had a very specific way of drawing, you know, like he used to work on Spider-Man. So, you know, like a character was exactly, you know, like 8 or 10 or whatever heads tall it was.
Right.
So, you know, the kind of rules that I don't really think about anymore, even though they're like, you know, yeah, or like, you know, they were central to my development. But once you learn the rules, you're allowed to break them if you want to or need to, you know.
I always think that was an interesting distinction, that if you don't know the rules, you have to learn them because you're breaking them. But once you learn them, it's okay. You can break them. Yeah. No.
It's true. That's true
with anything, music, writing, anything.
Yeah.
Have to know the rules.
It's like it's still very central.
Yeah, like
it's still very central to my like development as an artist.
I was gonna say, it reminded me in Hirohiko Araki's book, Manga in Theory and Practice. He talked about how it's good for like a face to learn the proper proportions first, so then even when you're exaggerating some of them, like bigger eyes, for instance, it still looks like a face. Like, it still looks like you
exactly
know
how, like
yeah
because like yeah because when you learn the proportions of a head or a face and then you go to exaggerate them, you at least like look like you know what you're doing. Because if you don't know the proportions of a head and you go to draw a head, then it's going to look far more amateurish. So even if it's a pain in the ass to learn that stuff, you gotta do it. But yeah, eventually there's a character design class that you take where you really learn how to, you know, apply the things you learned in drawing for sequential art when it comes to drawing, you know, a person or an animal or what have you, and apply it to, you know, making characters.
So actually on the character design sheet that you're doing for us, you know, you have the character and then you have sort of a, sort of showing them turning different poses.
Turn around.
There you go. And then you do something usually with the eyes or some paraphernalia like glasses that they wear. Is that the standard for what a character design sheet should have? Or
I don't know if there's necessarily a standard way of making a character sheet, whether it's for comics or animation, which might be good or bad depending on who you ask. But I guess when I'm making up these character sheets for Power Squared characters, I'm thinking about, you know, I might make a glamour shot on the side to show what the character's all about. And then the turnaround is mainly to show, like, mainly the technical parts of the character, like the proportions, like how tall they are, what they look like from the back, the front, the side, you know, little stuff like that. And then I'll show close-ups of specific stuff that you ought to know but might not, it might not be immediately visible in, like, the glamour shot or the turnarounds. Like, the eyes, for example, like, it might be hard, for the colorist to get the eye color from, you know, the glamour shot. So, like, if I figure if I show that close-up of the eye, then it's easier to get the colors. It's easier to, in addition for, like, any other artist to, like, you know, get the shape of the eye or what it looks like exactly. And then I know for the, for Marty and Eli, I showed their glasses by themselves because I figured, you know, that's also important to know how to draw.
Right. Well, and I know that coloring is really important for distinction of the two characters, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Marty's blue and Eli's red.
So. And I know for certain other character designs, especially for, I'm thinking of Quincy's character design from issue 10 to issues 10 onward. She got very in-depth character designs because there are a lot of details to her character. Like, I believe she got like a head turnaround to show like how her bun works, how her face works. I believe there's also a shot with her hair down because sometimes her hair is down. And I showed some of her jewelry. I gave her like amethyst jewelry because I know that amethysts stand for like, people use amethysts to like clear your mind, to give you like a clear mind. So I figured that would help reflect her character design a little bit because she's supposed to like convince you. Like psychological stuff. So I know I use part of her character sheets to like show what kind of jewelry she likes to wear. So
So every character, I mean, I was just asking mostly in case somebody wants to know how to, you know, to do one.
Oh yeah, I feel like if you want to make a character sheet of your own, like, I mean, again, it's not really standardized in terms of procedure or what you should show. Like, I figure the most important parts of the character, like if you were handing off this project to someone else, for example, like what would you want to make sure they know or that they can do, you know?
Now, you came in without that. Was that helpful, or was that, you know, hey, where are these, or, you know, how did that, you know what I mean? You started drawing without a character sheet.
It was definitely challenging, especially because, you know, you kind of have to flip through the other comics to, like, look at these characters and make sure you're getting them right. But at the same time, it does kind of afford a little bit of freedom to draw the characters in the way that I feel like fits like this world and my style the best. So I suppose there are ups and downs, you know?
I mean, we like what you're doing with them. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm glad.
You did okay. Well, you were capturing more, I think, the sort of anime Western blend that we were going for that we didn't get the first go around, the first five issues.
It's so, awesome.
So it was a better fit artistically.
Yeah.
For our vision.
I'm glad.
All right. Anything, any advice you want to give to a new artist trying to do a character design?
Any advice to artists? Learn, learn how to draw women. Similarly, learn how to draw animals. I don't feel like, even in art school, they don't really teach you enough how to do that kind of stuff, but I promise you'll thank me later.
Now, do you have I assume you've drawn characters outside of Power Square. Do you have a favorite character that you've created outside the Power Square universe?
Let me think. In terms of something I can show off.
if you have an NDA, we don't want you to violate it. But.
Let me think. Right now, I can't really show it, but I can talk about it. Right now, I'm working on a comic about kaiju, like giant monsters that are shrunk down. it's a very like cartoony style, like almost like not quite retro Cartoon Network, but it's kind of along those lines. And like a sort of Godzilla sort of character. And there was a Rodan sort of character, but she was scrapped in the end, which was very sad because she was my favorite. But I might just show her off because she's very fun. And she's not being used right now. So,
can you tell us what the project is, or is that, not supposed to know?
I might be able to say the title, and the title is "Not All Giant Monsters Are Big." It's with a, an individual client like you guys. They're just, they want to make their comic come alive. Let's see, here we go. I'm going to share this with you guys. Oh, she's so cute. can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I might use her for my own purposes later, because again, she's not being used in the comic, but, it's kind of along the lines like this, especially because, I will stop sharing now.
Right.
Because I love dinosaurs. They're my favorite. I just love drawing them. I love looking at them. So yeah.
So you work with other projects. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's like finding the,
you can never take me back.
For dating other people. It's okay. I'm kidding. No, it's good. I hope you are doing well with that.
Yeah, thanks.
So is that kind of...
I guess that's about it. Now that we've found out you're cheating on us, it's okay. We should go. No, we're kidding, of course. No. Again, we will, we'll be happy to publicize whatever work you're doing outside of Power Square if we're allowed to. So,
thank you. So, I'll let you guys know. Okay. I'll keep you up to date.
Yeah, we'll hope you're... Other creators are treating you good. All right, so you want to...
Yeah, okay. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you like this, leave a like, subscribe if you want to see more, and ring that notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Square.